in the world. I'm John Bessel with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Headlines in Jerusalem right now, the Jerusalem Post. Israeli embassies around the world put on high alert amid Iranian threats. The threats are taken very seriously, so we're very pleased to welcome our colleague Michael Masters. He is the National Director and CEO of Secure Community Network. Michael, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the show. This headline in Jerusalem points to the work that you're doing right now. What is your present opinion of this Iranian threat? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening, gentlemen. I believe in the old adage that when people tell you who they are, listen. And the Iranians and their proxies from the Houthi rebels in Yemen to Hezbollah and Hamas have clearly said that they wish to target Israel, the United States, and as we saw from a statement from the so-called Islamic State just last week, Christians and Jews. We should listen, and we are responding accordingly, both here in the United States and around the world. One of the things that that headline from the Jerusalem Post does not mention, but is critical, is that while the Israeli embassies are on high alert, they are not evacuating. And that is a statement that we as Jews will not be kowtowed. We will not be submitted. We will not drive ourselves into submission. We are going to stand strong.
Well, I think the work of SCAN under your leadership has really been quite remarkable. Recently, we saw, though, the funding for the nonprofit security grant program, which has helped provide security to Jewish and non-Jewish institutions, especially religious, but others as well, has been cut. So this at a time when anti-Semitic incidents are skyrocketing. So I'd like to hear your assessment, both about the current setting and how you compensate for the loss of $30+ million that went to institutions from all faiths and all groups.
It's unimaginable to me that at a time of such heightened threat directed not just to the Jewish community, but to faith-based communities around the United States, that a program that has garnered bipartisan support for years is now subjected to cuts for the first time, particularly in a post-October 7th environment. It is why SCN, our partners at the conference, JFNA, the ADL, the Orthodox Union, and others have stood strongly to say that these cuts could not come at a worse time than right now. But I'm also a big believer in the story of Noah from our liturgy. We build the ark before it begins to rain. And thankfully, because of investments made across the community, we are well prepared today, but we must remain vigilant. And it's absolutely essential that we get these funds back. In the meantime, though, we're going to keep doing the work that's so necessary, working to raise money inside the community, working with faith-based partners across other communities to ensure our mutual protection. That includes making sure every community member is trained, every institution has training, and to the extent that organizations can afford it, they have best practice security, and we're going to work with as many of them as we can to ensure that's the case.
New York is a target again and again and again for the jihadists. Is there anything that needs to be done, Michael? All these years you've been watching New York. Anything that needs to be done now to get ready for the worst case scenario?
I think with respect to New York specifically, one, you have the largest local law enforcement agency in the United States, the New York Police Department, that is highly adapted to dealing with threats against the faith-based community and certainly very attentive to the Jewish community. Thanks to our federation in New York, the UJA New York and their JCRC, they have an incredible team of security professionals that are working hand in glove with SCN and other organizations in the Jewish space and broader faith-based community to protect the Jewish community there. What's equally important, though, that we recognize that we have, you know, well over 450 Jewish communities around the United States, most of whom do not have anywhere near the type of resources available in New York or the strong, vibrant federation and JCRC that we see in New York, and every single one of those communities needs to be protected. It's why we're working to build that security shield over the entirety of the Jewish community in North America, and why the investments we've made over the last 20 years, thanks to visionaries like Malcolm, Steve Hoffman, and others, are so vital right now.
Malcolm?
Can you explain what the Red Cell Task Force that you created and whether this was a response to an increase in threats that you've seen since October 7th and the new efforts to organize hostile groups in the United States.
Certainly. So following the events of October 7th and what we have just seen as a opening of floodgates of hate, vitriol, threats of violence, and certainly anti-Semitism, we've worked together more closely with our state, local law enforcement partners and organizations across the Jewish community and broader faith-based community more closely than ever before. We formed this Red Cell Task Force to supplement the already strong information sharing infrastructure that we have in the Jewish community and with law enforcement. Frankly, agencies in the U.S. And many in our community are struggling to keep up with the unprecedented and complex threat environment we're facing. So we created this task force as we see events like what we saw in Syria on Monday, asking the question, what is the impact of the Jewish community here in the United States because of that? The Red Cell brings together subject matter experts from the intelligence, national security, and law enforcement spaces to ask those questions, develop collaborative answers, and then work with law enforcement associations, agencies, departments, and community entities around the country to educate and make people aware of those threats so that we can be better protected and prepared to address them.
Right now, this threat from Iran, we've had threats before. Is there anything about it that just that bothers you, Michael? You've got good instincts.
Well, Iran has obviously long been a threat to the United States and long been a threat to the state of Israel and more broadly the Jewish community. The statements that we are hearing from Iran are not uncommon. The actions they are taking, though, are very concerning. So we have seen plots foiled in Western Europe. We have seen plots foiled in Brazil. And now, several weeks ago, plot foiled in Canada of individuals that are sympathetic to or associated with Iran. We have seen warnings of individuals that are working to recruit proxies across the Western world to the cause of Iran and its allies. That mobilization is incredibly concerning. It means that we need to be as vigilant as we ever have been against this threat that is going to continue to grow, particularly as events in the region continue to increase and become more hostile. But it's not a new threat, but it is a new phase of, in my opinion, of how we are having to deal with this threat here domestically, particularly in the United States.
About 1 minute, Malcolm.
So tell us what the increase since October 7th, how has it changed your security and the event in Damascus? Do you mobilize in a different way? And are you able to get support from both local police and the federal agencies in responding to heightened tensions?
So when it comes to how we're preparing post October 7th, there's a phrase in law enforcement, you never rise to the occasion, you fall back to your level of preparedness. And I think that we have remained vigilant. The preparedness infrastructure that we've put in place, particularly in the Jewish community, has been activated in a way that it hasn't been because of the threat level, but the infrastructure was there, which was critical. The relationships that we've built over 20 years and longer with state, local, and federal law enforcement, we are seeing how vital those are as the community is coming under these new threats. So I wouldn't say that we have had to change our posture dramatically. The community has needed to be more engaged and more situationally aware, but we've been training for this, and we're going to need to keep training for it. We have survived for 4,000 years as a people. This event, this enemy is not going to be the end of us. We are going to be as resilient as we ever have been.
Michael Masters of Secure Community Network, Malcolm Honlein, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.